Hi, everybody. It's Pastor Michael Williams of Sela Mount Ministries in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And for today, we're going to talk about an important thing to understand when it comes to choosing a counselor. And this is really a message that is part of our biblical mental health and neuroscience outreach at Sela Mountain here in Albuquerque. And it's important, especially in today's times, we have an epidemic of mental illnesses or mental health issues. You can turn on the news every day and see things that are happening with shootings and people doing horrific acts because of mental illnesses, as they are called. But one of the things that I think is most important is to understand how to choose a good Christian counselor. How to choose a good Christian counselor. So that's going to be the theme of our message today. And I think it's important to understand that there are many people who consider themselves to be Christians. Even the cults call themselves Christians. And so it is important to understand where is the source of our counseling. What do we use when it comes to counseling? Many people today, unfortunately, have fallen into this notion that God's Word can only handle so much, and the rest of it has to be handed off to, quote, professional counselors. And I'm going to explain to you today why that is not what God intended for us to be doing. When the Bible teaches us about having the mind of Christ, if you are going to somebody for counseling that doesn't teach about how to have the mind of Christ, then expect that you're not going to have Christ-centered answers to your problems. Not only that, but you're not going to have the supernatural effect of the Holy Spirit to resolve your issues and problems. So we're going to dig down a little bit into that today. We're going to look at Acts chapter 20, verses 17 through 35. Acts chapter 20, verses 17 through 35. And so what we find here is the Apostle Paul had been traveling. And when we get to verse 17, it says, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church." And so, and it says, "And when they were come unto him, he said unto them, You know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner have I been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews." Now, so the first thing is we have to understand is a Christian counselor is someone who is personally invested in the work of the Lord. And the sad part about what we have today in many counseling environments is that we have people who literally do not want to bring God's Word into it. I've had many people come to us at Sela Mountain for counseling that have been to, quote, Christian counselors. And when you really investigate what it is that they were taught, you find out they were taught nothing but secular or non-biblical ways of dealing with their issues. I had one couple came to me one time for marriage counseling, and they were spending over $100 a week to go to a marriage counselor. And when they came to us, and they did this for 8 months, and when they came to us, after about the third week, they said that we have learned more in 3 weeks than we did in all those months and thousands of dollars at a Christian counselor. So it is important that the counselor is personally invested. You see, in the professional counseling world, it is considered to be, quote, unethical for you to have a personal relationship with your counselees. Well, the Bible teaches that we are to love God first and our neighbor as ourselves. So if you're going to love your neighbor as yourself, and like Paul here, when he said that when he came serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying and weight of the Jews, he talked about the problems that he was having and that how it affected him emotionally. And so that he was personally invested in the lives of the people that he was ministering to. It's sad because in today's professional counseling environment, you can't have any kind of relationship with your counselees because it's unethical, it's considered to be not right. And so I would submit unto you, who would you rather have helping you through your issues? Someone who genuinely cares for you and wants you to walk closer with the Lord, or someone who basically is there to give you an hour-long session so that you can vent and not really give you any ideas or turn every question into what do you think you should do kind of answer? That's the problem that we have today with many people who call themselves as Christian counselors. And so he was serving the Lord with all humility of mind. to realize that it's not the counselor is the person who's getting all the answers, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. He's serving the Lord with many tears and temptations. So, you know, sometimes I get people that I'm working with, and there's sometimes that I see one of the persons in a relationship maybe, and sometimes after a while you get to the point where you say, well, I can understand why she doesn't like what you do, or I can understand why you're having hard times in your marriage or relationship or with your children. There are times that I've had to tell parents that brought their children in 12, 13 years of age who ignored the warnings about them being out of control and having intervention in their lives, and instead they let them kind of run amok without any kind of biblical input whatsoever into the situation. And then when the child gets into greater problems with the law or being suspended from school or expelled or whatever, then they wonder why there's problems. And many times I have to, as I examine the situation, I find out, well, the reason why your child is acting like this is because you act like this. You see, nobody wants to tell them the truth. And so a Christian counselor has to be somebody who's going to be focused on the Lord. He's going to have to be Christ-centered. It's a person that has to be saved, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. Why? Look at verse 20. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house. You see, a Christian counselor is somebody who really is going to say all things that need to be said. Now, notice what he says, how I kept back nothing that was profitable from you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house. Showed you what? Well, that's really where the Word of God comes in. You see, a Christian counselor is going to be biblically centric. This Christian counselor is going to say the same message in public as they do in private. A Christian counselor would not have problems coming to your house and spending time with you, or setting time in their office, or at the church, or anywhere. It could even be at the ball field or at a ball game, and you know, it's somebody you're watching a game with, and your kids are out there playing, and you're talking about life, and before you know it, you're kind of sharing with them the problems that you're going through, and this person is going to continually go back to the scriptures and show you how it applies. They're not going to hold back anything. They're going to tell you what you need to hear. Why? Because they love you as a brother or sister in Christ, first and foremost. But even if you're not a brother or sister in Christ, they're going to want to make sure that you have everything that you need, whether it's at home, whether it's at work, whether it's in church, everything that you need to be able to live a life that glorifies Jesus Christ. So he kept back nothing. And notice what he says in verse 21. He says, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. One of the things that has to be foundational in Christian counseling is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter who you are. You know, I've had Christians come into my to counsel. I've had some Christians who claim they've been Christians for years, and you tell them, let's go to the book of Genesis chapter 3, and they don't even know where Genesis is. And so you're going to have people of all walks of life. I've had people that come in that are agnostics, that don't believe that there's really a God. They don't really believe in one, but they try to live their life as well as they can. Or they may be of another faith. I've had atheists that come in for counseling. I have Muslims come in for counseling. And in fact, that you talk about a challenge because they get offended by the name of Jesus Christ, but you can still take them back to Abraham in the Old Testament, and they can learn, even though they revere Abraham, that Abraham believed God and was accounted to him for righteousness. So it is important that this person is centered on the gospel to everyone. It doesn't matter if they're saved or they're not saved. And many times I come in and I know individuals who have a strong testimony of salvation, but it never stops me from, by the end of the first session with them, to really ask them, do they know for sure that heaven will be their home at the end of their life? Or do they know for sure that they will not go to hell? And if they can't answer it clearly by basically saying that I'm a dirty, filthy sinner, that I violated God's word, or violated the law, and because of that, my wages of sin is death, and that Jesus Christ lived a perfect life. He never ever sinned. Because he didn't sin, he didn't have to die. He'd have to pay the wages of sin, which is death. But he willingly allowed himself to be wrongfully crucified at a cross to pay for our sins. You see, if I don't hear that, then I have to wonder if they can't articulate at least something close to what the true gospel is, the clear gospel according to the Word of God. Not that I prayed a prayer when I was eight or that I got baptized or whatever. You know, that's not what saves us. It's by placing our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross to pay for our sins. That's what He had to die. And so I make sure, and that's what it's teaching here, that it doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter if it's a pastor. I've had pastors that I've counseled, and I ask them to tell me how they know for sure that they're going to go to heaven. How they know for sure that they're saved. You see, you can't take anything for granted. I've run into situations where ministry leaders cannot articulate a clear gospel. And if they can't articulate a clear gospel, they certainly can't teach it. And if they can't teach it, they certainly can't live it. And if they can't live it, then you have to ask, are they even saved or not? I've run into many situations where people are suffering what has been defined or diagnosed as a mental illness, and when they find out that they're not even saved, even though they've been going to church and they're active in their ministry, you find out they have no clear understanding of salvation. You present the clear gospel to them, they get saved, now they have the Holy Spirit on board. The Holy Spirit, which not only saves them and is a non-refundable guarantee on their inheritance in heaven, but now gives them the ability to walk in the newness of life, the ability to have victory in Christ. And so saying that, we see here also in verse 22 that the Holy Spirit is the counselor. Notice what it says in 22 and 23. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost, it means except, that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Now it's important to understand the role of the Holy Spirit. If your counselor does not emphasize the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome the issues of life, then that is not a Christ-centered counseling. That is not biblical counseling. So I want to make it clear here that when somebody talks about Christian counseling, that means nothing, because the word Christian can be defined any way that you want to describe it. Instead, we need to make sure that they are a biblical counselor. And there are many organizations out there that you can go through and get certificates of training for, quote, Christian counseling. But when you look at it, they're run by people who are not Christian counselors or biblical counselors. They're nothing more than secular psychologists that actually put a few Bible verses on it and try to make some biblical references to what you're teaching. But at the end of the day, the Christian counselor is the lay person, and the real professionals are the ones who are scientists. Well, I would submit unto you that God knows a lot more in His ignorance than they know in their wisdom. And yet, that's what we tend to trust today. It's sad. I've seen ministries who have gone out and trained all their people and get certifications in Christian counseling. And you look at who's running it, it's people that are not biblically centered counselors. And that's the point. You have to determine what is a Christian counselor and what is a biblical counselor, because there's a great difference. I can tell you here in Albuquerque, New Mexico, I'm not going to mention anybody by name, but I have yet to find one Christian counselor that calls himself a Christian counselor, so to speak, that is not taking money for their services. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. You find out that they are submitting a diagnosis code so they can put it to your insurance company. Well, you can't come up with a diagnosis code out of the Word of God. Maybe sin, maybe misunderstanding, maybe the need for discipleship. But there's no diagnosis code for that. But yet they will try to scientifically position it and give it a diagnosis according to man's description of what's wrong with you. Why? So they can bill for it. You see, they're not relying on the Holy Spirit. They're relying on man's wisdom and science as the foundation, not the Bible, which is the foundation of biblical counseling. So let's take a look for a moment at Revelation chapter 1, verse 4. And I mention this is because there's a little point that many people miss when they read the book of Revelation about the Holy Spirit. Revelation chapter 1, verse 4, this is John, okay, and this is the Apostle John. And notice what it says here, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come. Now that's, you know, that we're talking about God here. He is, he was, and he is to come. So, and then it says, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, which describes a little bit later in the book of Revelation. But I want to focus in on this seven spirits aspect. You see, it's talking about seven manifestations, or some people may call it dimensions, of the Holy Spirit. Look at Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. Go back to Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. And I want to point out why it is important that we have biblically centered counseling, our biblical counseling, not necessarily Christian counseling. So look what it says in Isaiah. I'm going to start with verse 1, but it says, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse." Jesse was the father of David, "and a branch shall grow out of his roots." And so as we're talking about a descendant of David, a branch is going to grow out of his roots. And notice what it says about this descendant of David, which we recognize as Jesus Christ. And it says, "And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, and the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge, and the spirit of the fear of the Lord." Now, so what we're looking at is the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. That's the first dimension. The Spirit of wisdom, that's the second dimension. The Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, and of knowledge, and of fear of the Lord. See, that's the seven dimensions of the Holy Spirit. But notice when it says the Spirit of counsel. The Spirit of counsel. That's what's important that we remember, is the Spirit of counsel. Because it's that Spirit, if you look back at Isaiah chapter 9, look at Isaiah chapter 9, which is a prophecy of the birth of Christ in verse 6 and 7. And it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful." What's the next name? "Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment, with justice, from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." So we see that the Spirit of counsel is Christ. The Spirit of counsel is Christ. And so the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God." It says in verse 14 of John 1:1 and John 1:14, it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." So the Word of God is representative of Christ. In 1 John 5:7, in a King James Bible, not the modern Bibles, which have removed it, it says, "Therefore there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." And so when you look at that from that perspective, what it's teaching us as we go back to Acts chapter 20, when he said, and "Now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, say that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying the bonds and afflictions abide me." So a lot of times you don't know what you're going to deal with. And so that doesn't mean that we can write down this laundry list of prescriptions. "Well, you have depression here, go do these things. You have bipolar here, go do those things. You have paranoid schizophrenia, here's another list for you. Or here's a medication for you." No, you see, what we have to rely on as a Christian counselor, which is really a biblical counselor, is somebody that relies upon the Holy Spirit of God to point them to the answers in Scripture that are going to apply to the situation. And that being said, what I find in a Christian counseling session, which is really what we call biblical counseling here at Sela Mountain, we don't call it Christian counseling because that's not definitive enough. In biblical counseling, as we are talking about the situation in the person's life, we are bringing in Bible verses into the conversation. We're going through Scripture, and when something is mentioned and said, then the Holy Spirit of God will prompt my memory about a verse that I say, "Okay, let's take a look at this verse. Let's look at Ephesians 4 and look about how we should communicate with one another. Let's look at Philippians 4:4-9 and learn about firestorm prayer and desperate situations." You see, what's going to happen if you're not biblically centric, if you're not a biblical counselor, you're going to come up with all these little man-made ways of dealing with stuff, but it really doesn't involve God. And that's the sad part about this. Notice what this is also says. When it comes to a biblical counselor or a Christian counselor that is biblically based, they do not bow to pressure. In verse 24 it says, "But none of these things move me, neither count my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Now, I have had times where, in some situations, where somebody doesn't want to hear what God has to say about it. Or they refuse to do what God says to do to deal with their issue. They refuse God's word, which really is refusing the counsel of Jesus Christ. And so they're refusing the counsel of Jesus Christ. And I've had times where they will go back to their church and start telling everybody, "Oh, he's no good. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He hates women, or he hates this," or whatever. But yet they're offended because the word of God pierced through their defenses of why they were trying to excuse their behavior. As we go on, that being in mind, being said, when we're looking at it being Christ-centered, the human counselor always points to God. You see, even in our ministry, on my cards and even here at Sela Mountain, we talk about how I am a, quote, biblical counselor. But really that is just a term that the world understands. I'm not a biblical counselor. I'm a person, a man of God, who takes the Word of God and teaches that. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But I always make sure that I give credit to Christ. It's not me that came up with all this wisdom. I'm just a faithful teacher that takes what God has said and brings it to mind as we're discussing these things. That's what biblical counseling is about. That's what Christian counseling should be about. And so it says in verse 25, "And now behold, I know that ye are among ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom shall see my face no more." You see, that's an important thing. He says that there's going to come a point where you're not going to see me anymore. So my goal as a biblical counselor, as some would call a Christian counselor, is not that they rely upon me for the answers, but they rely upon God's word for the answers. So my goal is to get them to search the scriptures and to become familiar enough with them and establish the habits in their lifestyle so that they know where to find the answers. It's not saying they can't come back to me or go to a different counselor or whatever that is teaching a Christ-centered counseling. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, but the ultimate goal would be that they not see me as a counselor or your counselor as a counselor, but they see as Christ as a counselor. And that's where they get their answers from. He says in verse 26, "Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." That's an important thing. I've run into pastors a lot of times that will not preach about certain subjects. I've run into, quote, Christian counselors who will give the politically correct reason of why you're running into issues. I've had people come into my office who have spent good money to go to Christian counselors, and they come in there. In one case, they were going there for marriage counseling, and by the end of the first session, the, quote, Christian counselor declared that all the problems in the marriage were because of the husband. And she literally turned on that person. And of course, the wife was happy because it's not her fault. And of course, then I find out later, maybe there's a problem with this counselor. One, jumping to conclusions, not as it talks about in Proverbs chapter 18, verses 13, 15, 17, and 19. It stresses about the importance of hearing the whole story, getting both sides of the issue, exploring things before rendering a judgment. Well, this person automatically condemned the guy. Well, I find out later this Christian counselor is married to another woman. And so how is this woman who calls herself a Christian counselor even qualified to talk about what a husband's role should be in a marriage, especially if the person's not using the Bible? And that's one of the questions I've asked. Well, did they go through the Bible with you when they talked about this? No. Well, did they talk about what it says in the Gospels? No. Did they talk about anything like in 2 Peter where it talks about the things that we do and what our motivations are? No. Did it talk about all these other scripture verses that we bring into mind in biblical counseling? No. And I said, well, what was Christian about it? Well, we prayed before. Well, even the heathens pray. But I'm here to tell you that too many times what happens is the enemy is out there calling itself Christian when in fact the emphasis needs to be on the Bible. It needs to be a biblical counselor. So he is not shunned to declare all the counsel of God. Now that doesn't mean that you just come out at a moment's notice and blast them with a Bible verse. You have to get their hearts softened to the point where they're willing to listen to it. And that means that you're using Scripture and rely upon the power of the Holy Spirit to make that come to fruition. And verse 28, the other thing is that we have to understand about Christian counselors is, and what I really should be calling a biblical counselor, is they are not there, as we mentioned before, for you to consistently come back to. Really, our role here is to help somebody understand what they're dealing with, make sure they're clear in the gospel, what they need to do to be continuing the Lord's word daily so that they can be his disciple, so they can grow. But also, when they're done and they've had victory, to train them how to go back to their churches and help other people, or people in their families. He says here, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." Now, so we're looking at training others. So, when we look at this, take a look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. I alluded to this a little bit earlier. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Now, this is the second letter that Paul is writing to Timothy, and I think it kind of coincides with this section of Scripture, because as you read on a little bit further in this chapter, Paul is talking about how his life is winding down here. And so 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I'm going to start with verse 1, and it says, "And thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." So he's basically saying, Timothy, take those things that I've taught you and get some faithful men and train them in the things that which you've been taught and you've seen, so that they can go out and do the hard work of the ministry. You see, biblical counseling is not easy. It is not easy. It involves a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of patience, a lot of waiting upon the Spirit, when to say what at the right time. And so he's saying here that's the important thing about it. But there's going to be people that are going to want to enter in. They're going to discount it. They're going to malign it. They're going to speak against it. They're going to say, "Well, what do you know? You're not a psychiatrist." Okay, well, what do you know? You're not a theologian. That being said, it doesn't mean that you have to have a doctorate degree to teach somebody from God's word. You see, we've got this mentality that somehow the world has to approve this form of counseling to make it valid. Well, I'm here to say that the only thing that's been approved of the world is Satan. Christ has been approved among God and by God to be the person who determines what is true and what is not true. And so there are going to be grievous wolves that are going to enter in that are not going to want to have anything to do with this. They're going to denounce it. They're going to say, "What do you know? Leave it to the professionals." And I can tell you, life after life after life has been destroyed because people have been told, "Well, the Bible doesn't have an answer to that." Well, we've told you many times in 2 Timothy 3:16, 17 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is suitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So everything that you need in life is in the Scriptures. And we're not talking about, as you look at some of our other series to understand the background of this without getting into it, we have other references that I want you to look at through our site at wisdomfortoday.org. One is, does the Bible say anything about mental health? Is one of our articles, and it teaches there about what the Bible teaches. What does the Bible say about the Trinity? There's three parts of that series, and one of them is about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. If you understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit, you know how these things work. Another one is Seven Precepts to Mental Health with God, which is a series that I preached not long ago. And as you look at those precepts, in order to have mental health, you have to have certain things in place. And Paul is saying that there's going to be people that are going to be against these things. They're going to say that it's not sufficient, that you don't know what you're talking about. But I'm here to tell you that God's word is sufficient. And verse 30 says, "Also of your own selves shall men arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." And so the scary thing about this, as it goes on, he says, "Therefore watch, remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn you, warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. You see, here's a problem too. A Christian counselor should not be charging you for counseling from God's word. It's one thing to charge you. It's another thing to ask for a donation to help to support the ministry. But what we run into many times is that even the Apostle Paul says that the gospel is without charge. So why would a Christian counselor want to take your insurance and charge you a certain dollar amount if you don't have insurance for counseling from God's word? Well, if they're not using God's word, well, then it's not Christian counseling. It's not biblical counseling. So he says, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, who said, it is more blessed to give than receive. Normally we hear that when it comes to donation time at church, to give your, quote, tithes and offerings. But I would submit unto you, when you find a good Christ-centered biblical counselor that, sure enough, is a Christian, not saying that all Christians are biblical, and when you find a good Christ-centered biblical counselor, you should support them with your love offerings. You should enable them to be able to continue the work. I can tell you here at Sea Lamont Ministries, we've seen feasts and we've seen famine when it comes to donations. But yet the mission has continued on as God has blessed us. We've been able to minister people using His word. Not once have we ever turned somebody away because they couldn't pay. No, it doesn't work that way. That's not the way Christ ministers to people. And shame on the Christian counselor who charges anyone to help them from the Bible and using God's word to minister to them. If you're going to use something other than the Bible, if you're going to use some sort of insurance diagnosis code for what you call as Christian counselor, then shame on you. You should stop doing it, because that is not Christ-centered counseling. I hate to get kind of wild up against this, but I tell you what, I've seen so many people whose lives have been messed up and destroyed because of people who call themselves Christian counselors that didn't dare even talk about the gospel or use the word of God. And I would ask you then, what makes them a Christian counselor? So with that being said, it comes down to this. If you want to choose a good Christian counselor, we've shown many of the things here, but it comes down to this. The foundation is Jesus Christ. And is your Christian counselor saved? Are they willing to use the Bible as the instruction manual of how to deal with these things? I have to say to you, this is not the kind of thing that just the average person just picks up and goes and does. It comes with experience. It comes with biblical growth to know what scriptures apply, and most importantly, relying upon the Holy Spirit to prompt your memory of these verses when the time is appropriate. Well, the question is, do you have the Holy Spirit of God in you? You see, the Bible teaches that the moment that we trust Christ as our Savior, it says in Ephesians chapter 1, that He gives us His Spirit as the earnest on our inheritance. That's a non-refundable guarantee on the inheritance that we have in heaven. You see, and what that does, also in Ephesians 4:30, it says that He seals us to the day of redemption, which means that the Holy Spirit seals us so that our destiny is in heaven, that no man can pluck us out of the hand of Christ. And not only that, but when He gives us that Spirit also gives us the ability to walk in newness of life. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it's the Holy Spirit that gives us the ability to understand the Scriptures. It gives us the ability to understand the deep things of God, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So it's important to understand this. In order to have the Holy Spirit, you have to be saved. That means you have to have trusted Christ as your Savior. Christ is the person who saves you. That is a person, and we read in James chapter 1, it says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask God, that gives all men liberally and upbraideth not, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. So that means that if you want God to help you, if you want a biblical counselor to help you, it has to be someone who has asked God for wisdom and trusted God's answers from His word as much as he trusted that God can save him. And that's what it teaches. The Bible says, you know, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. It goes on to describe how a wavering person is like a bipolar person. One minute they're up, yay, God, I'm great, everything's good. And the next minute they're down. They're talking about how life is so terrible. It says, let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. So if you're not going into, quote, Christian counseling with a focus on trusting Christ and trusting what he says in his word, then that is not Christian counseling, and it certainly is not biblical counseling. So I submit unto you, if you're here today and you're not sure if heaven would be your home, by all means, we pray that you contact us at Sela Mountain in Albuquerque, New Mexico. You can get our number off our website, but it's 505-323-3770. 505-323-3770 in Albuquerque, New Mexico, United States. And we pray and ask that if you have any questions about this message, please comment as you see it posted on our ministry websites. So we have selamountain.org and also wisdomfortoday.org. May God bless you and keep you as you consider the things that you've learned today. In Jesus' name, amen.